You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
When the novelist Francine Prose took her granddaughter to see what was billed as a festive and amusing play in downtown Manhattan, she saw not mirth, but tragedy, and that inspired her latest novel, Mr. Monkey. The novel follows the cast members of a bizarre children's musical about a playful little monkey who likes to steal and make mayhem. The cast members grapple with their own personal problems, compounded by their growing unhappiness with their roles in the play and in life. It's published by HarperCollins, and I am pleased it brings Francine Prose back to our show. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
So I understand that in real life, IRL, you were watching this play with your granddaughter, and she leaned over to you in what turned out to be a very quiet moment of the play and said, "Grandma, are you interested in this?" Is that how it really happened?
That's exactly how it happened. And she was mortified. I mean, she likes the theater. She's 9 now, but she was about 4 or 5 at the time. And I had already taken her to see The Lion King and Wicked, you know, for which I'd practically had to take out a second mortgage on my house. So we went, okay, we're going to downscale a little bit and go to neighborhood theater. And this was a musical, a children's musical, and it was entertaining, I guess, but really heartbreaking because the costumes were falling apart and the lighting director had a hard time finding the characters on stage. And I think my granddaughter had some sense that this was happening. And at some point she did ask me that question, you know, horrified that everyone in the theater heard her. And I said, yeah, of course I'm interested. And then I've since thought that I wrote the entire novel so I wouldn't have been lying to her about my answer. Although I was interested, but in a slightly different way than she might have imagined.
Yeah, there is a special kind of awesome awfulness in it, just like an all-out disaster, especially when a play goes wrong. Was it fun for you to imagine this one and really look at it from all these different angles?
Well, it was super fun and heartbreaking at the same time because, of course, I identified with this kind of saddest woman in the cast who was middle-aged. Oh, yeah. Because she's every artist's bad dream of what could happen. You thought you were going to play Chekhov and you're playing in Mr. Monkey. You thought you were going to have this glorious career and oops, something went wrong. So she was the person whose skin I got into first. And then, you know, I wish I was the kind of writer who wrote with outlines and knew where I was going and blah, blah, blah. But I don't. I mean, I write the first sentence and I write the second sentence and so forth. So I got to the end of the chapter about this character. And what happened by the end of the chapter was the teenage boy who plays Mr. Monkey has this sort of unpleasant, I wouldn't say attack, but he kind of, let's say, gropes the actress. I mean, it just is out of control.
He's supposed to jump on her, but she knows that he's aroused. And
yeah.
Everything goes wrong at that point.
And he's a hormonal little, you know, preteen. So so then I thought, okay, let's see how this looked from the boy's point of view, from the little boy's point of view. So then I had to invent a whole life and situation for him and, you know, child actors and so forth, endlessly interesting. And then I realized that what was going to happen was it was just going to spin out from that production. So I talked about the grandfather who was, of course, you know, the grandmother, me, but if you change gender, of course, nobody recognizes you. Taking the child to the thing. And what I found was, and I only realized it kind of halfway through, was that whatever my granddaughter's impulse had been, which is, you know, saying the thing you weren't supposed to say at the moment you weren't supposed to say it, I found it kind of repeated in every chapter that I was doing. I mean, that is, there are things about, let's say, the grandparents' obsessive, hopeless love for the grandchild that just don't get said. You know, it's always, oh, this is the best thing that ever happened to you and so on. But I thought, well, let's just talk about that. And then as it spun out further and further, and I knew that I wanted to bring it back to the play by the end, I was very surprised by what happened. I mean, I thought it was just dark. And then as the end approached, it got kind of brighter and brighter. And I'm not sure, but it may be the first thing I've written in a very long time or ever that has a happy ending. And I was as shocked as anybody else. And, you know, later I thought, oh, I should have called it Mr. Monkey, a love story, because actually that's what happens by the end.
Now, I thought writers are practically contractually obliged to say, no, this isn't me, this isn't my life. But you just said, oh, I'm the grandfather, but just, you know, switch the gender.
I'm the grandfather. Well, yeah, and in fact, there's a scene in the novel that's very close to reality. The grandfather takes the grandson, another gender switch to his daughter and son-in-law's house for what turns out to be a dinner party. And I actually saw something like this, and it was, I mean, Brooklyn Parenthood, the horror of Brooklyn Parenthood, and surrounded
tell me about
by, yeah, right, I'm sure a lot of people, surrounded by parents who, first of all, treated me, the grandmother, as if I were some sort of pleasantly simple-minded, geriatric person who had wandered into this not knowing where. And then every time I tried to bring up anything except the children, you know, a movie, God forbid, a book, it was as if I was committing some horrible sacrilege, because the only permissible topic was the children, and which were the best schools and which were the better schools and which ones were more satisfying, responsive to their needs. And these kids were 5 years old. So that went straight into the book without even having to, you know, I invented some new characters, but I didn't have to think that hard.
It is a pretty bleak look at human relations at times. And you think like husbands and wives don't understand each other's, and parents and children don't understand each other, and are almost incapable, actually, that they might like to, they might even aim to walk in each other's shoes, but so often they can't really do it. Do you see life that way?
No, not at all. And in fact, I don't. I mean, I have, you know, knock on wood, a very long marriage. I get along really well with my two grown sons. I adore my grandchildren. So no. I mean, I think in many ways writers write their worst fears into their novels. But again, by the time I got to the end, I was kind of shocked, because this, well, I'll just use the word, spiritual component had come into the book, and this kind of elevated moment in the last 40 pages just lifted it above all that grittiness that had been before. So I couldn't have been more pleased or more surprised.
I want to ask you a little bit about your process, because you've already said that you don't do a flow chart. You don't map out where you're going. You do one step in front of the other. But in the break, before we started, you were saying that you like to play computer solitaire when you're taking breaks from writing. Is that that's right?
That is right. I mean, as I was saying, I wrote a piece about being a computer solitaire addict for The Times, and I must have gotten 200 emails from people I knew or people I didn't know, you know, coming out as computer solitaire addicts. So I think it's, you know, it's kind of a writer's malady, I think, because in a way it's sort of like writing. I mean, you're making order out of chaos and you're winning at the end or so forth and so on. So yeah.
What does it do for you? Does it clear the brain?
I don't, you know, a friend of mine who is a Buddhist wrote to me, and at first I thought he said, oh yeah, computer solitaire is like Zazen meditation. I thought, great. I had a suspicion that was the truth. But then I read his email again, and he'd said, oh no, it's the opposite of Zazen meditation.
Oops.
So oops, right.
My guest is the novelist Francine Prose. Her new book is Mr. Monkey, which is now available for pre-order. You'll be seeing it in the bookstores real soon. I want to ask you a little bit about writing the craft, because you are, I think you're kind of like a writer's writer. You write a lot about writing. You're a past president of the Penn American Center. And I was actually just reading New Grub Street by George Gissing, when we booked you, and I happened to notice that you had written the intro. This is another book that's about writing. And you wrote in the intro, one purpose of fiction is to remind us of how much remains the same despite superficial changes in manners and customs. Is that a thought that you consciously have when you start a book?
No, but I think it informs everything. I think it informs that. I mean, and there's certain things about Mr. Monkey that seem to me, however of the moment or timely I might think it is, that are permanent. I mean, grandparents and grandchildren, fathers and daughters and children and so forth. And then the whole question of art. I mean, Chekhov, there's a kind of Uncle Vanya is looming in the background of the novel. But his plays and his stories are full of people who wanted to be one thing and wound up being something else, or, you know, actors in particular. I mean, he wrote quite beautifully about the theater. So the way in which my characters have had these dreams about their lives and those dreams are not fulfilled certainly was around in 19th century Russia, and I assume it was around a lot earlier than that. So those things are quite, I wouldn't say permanent, but they certainly go beyond the present moment.
Can I hit you up with a couple of literary controversies of the moment?
Oh, please.
Elena Ferrante, Italian novelist, wrote under a pseudonym. I devoured all four of her books this spring. And just a week or so ago, the real identity, the purported real identity, perhaps real identity of the author was revealed in the pages of the New York Review of Books. Again, as an author's author, past president of the Pan American Center, do you have any opinion on this?
One of the things that I was that we were doing at Penn, that they are doing at Penn, is about the right to privacy, and that's such an essential right. And it's Elena Ferrante and Edward Snowden are not exactly in the same situation, but there is some similarity. That is, you have a right, I think, to reveal as much personal information as you want to the world, be it a reporter or be it the NSA. So I think that on the other hand, I have to say that on the scale of things that are happening now in the world, the outing of Elena Ferrante, honestly, was pretty low on my list of things I'm worried about.
How about what they, I think, are sometimes at least calling Shrivergate? This is the novelist Lionel Shriver, who's mm-hmm. a woman in spite of her first name. And she had been she was giving a talk in Australia, and somebody walked out of the talk. And the controversy really centered on this question of, can writers write about other ethnic groups, other kind of people, maybe very far from themselves? And can they do it without being accused of cultural appropriation? You do write about people other than yourself. Mm-hmm. So how do you think about this?
I wrote a piece about the Shriver thing for the New York Review of Books blog. I mean, it's very complicated because that's a particular instance. I mean, there's the subject and then there's the Shriver speech. I mean, I think it was intentionally.
Are you saying she escalated it?
Yeah, she escalated. And I also think you don't go into a room with people of different ethnicities and people of different races and so forth and say, you know, everything you're worried about and thinking about in these subjects that are dear to your heart are just baloney and bogus, and I'm going to tell you why. I mean, it was spectacularly insensitive. On the other hand, of course, writers have always and should be able to write about other people who are not themselves. I mean, how dreary it would be if we were all writing memoir all the time. I mean, in Mr. Monkey, there's a character who's a Southeast Asian, a young Indian woman who's the costume mistress and the thing. Well, I felt that it was in my right to imagine what her life was like, and that I didn't, you know, it didn't seem that I was appropriating her situation.
She's totally believable, at least to me.
Thank you. I was trying to imagine her situation, not steal her situation.
Uh-huh. Have you ever attempted a character where you thought, actually, no, I don't think I do know how to entirely imagine this person's world. It's too different from mine. It's too far removed from the world I know.
I'm trying to think. You know, I have lots of unfinished novels, so that may have been the problem. But I can't remember a specific event. And you know, also, we do have friends, and we do have research materials, and we do have people we can talk to. So if you're trying to write, let's say, a police detective, and you're not a police detective, you can go out and talk to them. So there's certainly things that can be done.
My guest, Francine Prose, her book is Mr. Monkey. Before you go, I just want to ask, the book is all about a children's play that goes terribly wrong. In your research, did you go to any more children's productions or just the one that you saw that went so badly wrong?
I haven't. I mean, I think after that, I took my granddaughter to see Matilda, which we loved. But I think that I was kind of, well, really frightened away in a certain way. And I thought, well, we'll just leave it there. And she hasn't asked to, although actually, just a little plug, I take all of them every so often to the new Victory Theater on 42nd Street, which is like the best thing in the world. And they have dancers and musicians and comedians and jugglers from all over the world. So yes, I do. But that's kind of close to Broadway, I guess.
All right. Well, there you have it. The best thing in the world, New Victory Theater. My guest has been Francine Prose. She will be speaking and signing books at McNally Jackson on Wednesday, October 19th at 7 p.m. Mark your calendar. She also has upcoming events at Greenlight Bookstore in Brooklyn on November 3rd and at CUNY's Macaulay's Honor College on November 10th. You can find out more about all of these events on our show page at wnyc.org/Lopate. The book, Mr. Monkey, is published by Harper. Francine, pleasure talking with
you. Thank you so much.